Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, March 31st, 2014. And I know you're bitching. You're saying this is late. You're right. It is late. I'll give it to you this week. It is late, but that's only because I'm doing a very special episode of the Monday Morning Podcast. I alluded in past episodes that about this tour that was coming together with the guys that I go out on the road with, Paul Verzi, Jason Lawhead, and Joe Bartnick, that possibly the three of them were going to come together like one of those superhero movies and do their own fucking tour. And they are, the all-in tour. And it starts tonight at Lago at 7:30 tonight. And right now, Joe Bartnick isn't here yet, but Paul, dude, I called it, Verzi is here, and Jason Lawhead are both here. So I want to welcome both of you to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having us here at your lovely studio.
Oh, thank you.
This is
amazing.
This
is the All Things Comedy
it's late.
Studios.
It's late today.
What is the podcast?
You take I've noticed, though, you take a wow, what a
what's the matter?
Am I being knighted? I sounded weird there for a second.
But they can't hear it.
Oh, okay.
They can't hear it.
You take a lot of flack for that shit. For like, if you're like a couple hours late, I notice like you'll post your thing and people will be like, "Way to go, Billy Red fucking Dick!
Yeah.
You're an asshole." It's 1 a.m. I can't believe like I'm like,
yeah, but
it's a podcast. I know it's Monday morning. It's like 2 p.m. It's
Jay,
fine, guys.
Jay,
everybody,
Jay,
relax.
It's the internet.
Yeah,
it's what people do. Everybody's in the bushes, so they can say whatever the fuck they want. I mean, just I don't read Twitter.
It's hilarious.
I don't think they're really genuinely mad. I think they just want to, like, you know.
Yeah, for the most part.
They want to be like, they want to get their little,
sure.
Hey, I said this today.
Oh, they
know.
Love doing that. People in general, they're not big on heckling during the show. But afterwards, if you're standing out there whoring yourself out, that's when they'll come by and they'll be like, "Oh, you're not as tall as I thought you were going to be." Let's say shit like that. And I always just give him shit. I go, you know, you had 90 minutes to say that when I was you pussy. That's always good
that.
When that woman's standing there, too. Then they go home. They probably take it out on her, hate fucker or something. And I like to feel that I had something to do with that. But that's not why we're here today.
No.
We're here to promote your guys' tour. And do you have any of the dates here that I could actually start
we
reading?
Do right
them?
There.
Okay,
look
this
at
is
that.
What we got.
Look
tonight.
That.
Tonight, it's already sold out. We are going to go ahead and answer it. We're still waiting for Bartnick. Bartnick said, answer it.
Answer the phone.
All right. By the way, if you hear weird noises out of Jason Lawhead, he fucked his back up. So, there you go. All right. So here we go. The All Things Comedy Tour starring Paul Verzi, Jason Lawhead, and Joe Bartnick is tonight. It's at the Largo in Los Angeles, which is already sold out. And Tuesday, April 1st, tomorrow night, if you're down in comedy-starved San Diego – a lot of comics never go down there. They're going to be at the Madhouse Comedy Club tomorrow, Tuesday, April 1st. Sunday, April 6th, they're going to be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington.
Yep.
Monday, April 7th, they're at Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. Tuesday, April 8th, San Francisco, they're going to be at the Punchline. Wednesday, April 9th, they're going to be at the Punchline. And Thursday, April 10th, the Punchline. So 8th, 9th, and 10th.
10th is in Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento, sorry.
8th and 9th in San Francisco and 10th in Sacramento.
There you go. There you go.
And I'm excited because I've never been to Sacramento.
I've never been anywhere in
California. Oh, Jesus. What are we doing here?
I've never been anywhere in California other than Long Beach and L.A., so I'm looking forward to San Diego tomorrow.
See, this is fun for me because you're in California. I've been out to see you in New York at least a handful of times since we've been friends, but you've never been to California.
All you know is...
And all Verzi does is shit on California.
Yeah,
no.
I can't. Yeah.
Shit's I said
right
today.
And left. Dude, he got hammered when we were in this cigar bar in Calgary, and I was shitting on the Yankees or something.
No, you were shitting on golf, I think.
I was shitting on golf. I was
like
shitting
bad.
On golf. And then, because I was saying that...
About playing it or following it?
Like, where I put it as far as sports competition.
Gotcha.
And I put it in with bowling, pool, shuffleboard, where it's one of those things. So he gets mad at me, and he starts going like, you know what, Bill? He goes,
no, I wish
he goes, burritos suck. Like, he comes at me with the cuisine. He goes, all it is beans and rice. And I go, yeah, Paul, that's all it is. No one ever thought to put anything else in there.
But you know, you even said, I got drunk. He said it hit me like a smoke bomb. Like, that time you started slumping. Remember that time you got hammered and you were just like, you were a mess? Like,
Let me get my calendar out.
But do you think that's bad, though? I saw you shaking your head that that's where I put golf. I'm not saying...
Not anywhere near bowling or shuffleboard. No.
No, I'm not saying that because there's all different degrees of difficulty, but I'm just saying as far as you're playing a sport where it's all between your ears. Between your ears, there's nobody physically trying to stop you.
Mother Nature, it's several all, times.
Oh, give me a fucking break.
I'm just
break.
Saying wind, water. I mean, there's a lot of forces
wind.
In nature.
Well, no,
there's
I think wind. No, but I think.
Did he just say wind?
Playing
this
against
is a fucking
you.
Sport.
But playing against
leaves,
you of what you're. Of what
leaves,
you're,
a stick is in the way of your ball.
Well,
I'm not saying
that.
They
talk about the wind held that up. A guy hits a home run. They're like, that would have been out of here. The wind held it
no,
up.
No, what I know, but when baseball players talk about how difficult it is, they talk about trying to hit a curveball. They don't talk about the wind.
Hey,
no, forget mother.
Try hitting a golf ball.
Sun's in your eyes.
No, but forget Mother Nature.
Skin cancer?
Yes.
But there's more than that. It's not even that. It's how about the fact that you actually do have to have a proper swing, posture, your hips, your legs, your
Paul,
hands.
You're not listening
to
me.
They have to stay intact, too. Your body has to
stay intact.
You're
not listening to me. I'm not saying it's not difficult, you golfing zombies. What I'm saying is it's not fucking playing football, basketball, hockey, where there's somebody trying to stop you. There's not All a right. pitcher throwing the fucking golf ball 100 miles an hour at your chin to back you off the tee, and then you got to come up there and settle back into your fucking swing.
Right. No,
okay,
no,
that's
no,
all I'm saying. I know it's mentally difficult, but it's in the same family as pool, bowling, shuffleboard, horseshoes, all the way down to some of the most simplistic sports there are. Tiddlywinks.
No.
Nobody's stopping you.
No, I mean,
nobody's stopping you in jacks.
You don't need to be in shape to do shuffleboard. You don't need to be in shape to bowl.
That's such a terrible point to bring up with because I'll tell you, I'll fucking show you. Dude, first time I watched the Masters, Kenny Perry, he looked like somebody's grandfather. Fucking came out, he blew it, and then some other fat Argentina guy won it. They were both fat.
Oh, Cabrera.
Fat guys I'll concede that fat guys can play golf. I get
that. Dude, the sweat on Phil Mickelson's man tits is so unacceptable. He should always have to
wear. That's why they should
have
to carry their own bag.
Yeah, but they're not piles of shit. Kenny Perry's not a pile of shit.
Dude, what is he? An Adonis?
Just during.
No.
What is he closer to?
Just during a sudden death playoff, he is.
Oh. No.
No, but what is he closer to? Is he closer to an Adonis or a tub of shit?
Oh, no. Yeah, he's definitely closer to a tub of shit than an Adonis.
And another tub of shit beat him to fucking... Dude, even that guy who bought the General Lee car, he doesn't look like he did a fucking pull-up in his life. He had those seventh-grade straight arms where you don't have... You just have basically the humerus bone with a little bit of meat hanging on it so you can still pick up a pencil or a fucking eight-iron. The guy who hit that amazing shot.
Bubba Watson.
Yeah, Bubba Watson.
Right.
I love
dude, that Coors Light drinking... Come on.
Yeah. He's like the guy he jet skis. He's totally the Kenny Powers of Major
exactly.
League Baseball.
So I'm not disrespecting the sport, but I'm just saying the reason why I find the sport boring as hell to play is the fact that there's nobody guarding me. And I get bored shitless by 3-4 fucking holes. I don't care. The whole thing is silly. I'm trying to put this little ball in a hole and the hole is unguarded. There's nobody trying to swat it away. Is it goaltending? It's just fucking
it's just
hole in the ground.
Yeah, but that's a stupid way to look at it. It's designed differently. It's just a different game.
Listen,
it's
there's a reason why.
Bird should have been in Caddyshack, too.
There's a reason why a bunch of fucking old people, when they start putting on weight, you know, and they need to get active, they always pick up that sport. And I'm telling you, those fat fucks who, if you threw a baseball, the odds of them chipping their tooth – can somehow still get on a golf course. And I'm not saying they crush it like a pro, but they can hit the fucking thing straight enough. They're all right.
They're okay. They're not fun to play with.
They can shoot a 105.
I love how we're calling millionaire golfers tubs of shit.
Yeah, they're not fun to play.
Dude,
right.
John Daly used to be fucking pounding beers.
Yeah. Oh, John Daly was an animal.
Back
to it.
John Daly was an animal. I heard his book. Like, he was an animal.
We used to go to the Firestone every year, some buddies of mine down at the NEC in Akron. And we used to follow – this is back in the, like, late 90s, mid to late 90s when Daly was on top of the world. He was in every tournament because he was, you know, he was still exempt from all of his wins.
I love that guy, too.
Dude, he was the best. We would follow him around, and he'd bomb the ball past everybody. This is before Tiger made a name for himself on the tour. And he was a smoking – he would chimp – chain smoke. You know, they don't show it on TV, but a lot of these guys chain smoke. It's like they hit the driver, they light the cigarette, and he literally chain smokes.
When the camera goes away from him.
When the camera goes away from him, they don't put the camera on him. And a lot of times when you do, they'll go back to be like, we'll go to Daly at 16. He's got a cigarette burning in the fairway. You just don't see it. He takes his hit, and they say, and then they show the ball, you know, they saw it hit the green, and they show him, like, you know, give his club. And then once they show, like, the trees and the leaderboard, he's back smoking again. Yeah. He actually smokes so much, he's got an old coffee can with a hook on the side of his bag as an ashtray.
No, does he?
Yeah, so because they don't want him littering up those nice courses. That's not cool. So you would follow him, and his caddy would put the bag down, and he'd be waiting to hit his approach in, and he'd be smoking cigarettes, and he'd throw it in the coffee can, or if he still had his cigarette when it was time to hit, he'd throw it on the grass and just let it burn, wait till pick it up. It's hilarious.
Well, listen, I know it's difficult, because I've actually talked to a professional athlete, Hall of Famer, who said those guys mentally are the strongest athletes because you get all that time to stand with the ball thinking. I understand that, but there's just something about the fact that there's nobody trying to stop you but me. It's just the activity of it. I feel like I might as well just sit in a restaurant with a chopstick trying to catch a fly. It's just like, why am I doing this? This is just dumb. I'm not working up a sweat. Like, I would rather play fucking horseshoes and then just walk back over to the grill and just grab a sandwich. Like, I just don't understand what I'm doing. Part of it might be because I'm so pasty and I'm out there.
Yeah, you might
like,
not
dude, do you know
it.
How bad I want to go out on the course with you guys? Because you smoke it. Only because you're smoking cigars and drinking. But then I'm just like, beers. I'll meet you at the club.
Yeah, but the drinking and the smoking on the course is so fun.
Oh, there's not
it's so fun.
A Cuban on a golf course?
I know, but this is the thing. Maybe that's how you have to sell the sport, because it's not like, yeah, you want to go play hockey and just be like, yeah, you're smoking stogies? All right, maybe I'll come
we
down.
Should have
fucking,
like
it's fun.
We should have an annual, like, we'll call it the Cuban Open. We'll just get, like 4 or 8 guys, get a couple foursomes. We meet at a golf course every year, and we just...
Absolutely.
We just play, like, 2 rounds of golf over 2 days and just smoke Cubans and drink scotch all
I got to tell you this. If I ever became president...
I
got to
start drinking again.
If I ever became president, one of the first things I would do was... And I would risk my own assassination by doing this, because I would go against all the corporate cunts, and I would basically... I would break bread with Castro and those guys, and I would just be like, all right, listen, we were wrong to try and turn your island into a bunch of Starbucks and casinos. At the end of the day, it is your property. Do it with it what you want. We'll bring you some cars down here. Just start sending us the cigars again, and we'll just leave it at that. But that's not what they're actually waiting for him to die, and then they're going to turn that place into it's going to look like Orange County. It's going to be fucking brutal.
Yep.
It's terrible. You know, I'm not saying the guy's the greatest leader. I'm not saying I want to be underneath the guy. But in principle, they were right. It was their country. They had the right to do. Okay, we're going to take callers here. All of a sudden, it became like a fucking political
hey,
show.
We're going to take callers.
No,
here.
But getting back to the cigar
Cuban
thing.
Missile crisis.
I'm so fucking sick of having to try and find. It's kind of the excitement of smoking a Cuban is trying to find one.
Yeah.
You know, and now you know what everybody's going to say. You know, 90% of them are fakes. Yeah, where you go, they are.
They're already on Twitter doing it, probably.
Yeah, they do that shit. But but even now, like, you know, if you order them and they send them in, you know, they're a little hard.
Well, so I'm just getting tired of people talking about, like, how it could get you sick and how it could give you throat cancer and shit. It's like, listen, man, you know, I'm not smoking these, like, cigarettes like a pack. If I'm going to smoke 1 or 2 cigars a week. That's it. That's it.
I seen you smoke 4 in 2 nights. And I don't even live in New York. Yeah, I mean, that just happened. I just happened to be there.
Yeah, well, you know, no, it was like 5. It was.
It was
a couple of
Jersey.
You're backpedaling now.
Yeah, well, no, it was a couple days.
That does break down to 14 a week. Anyway,
dude, I love them. I fucking love them.
So
dude.
Now I got to ask you guys. Now, when you go out on this tour, being the scotch drinking cigar smokers that you are. What is the over under on weight gained on this all in tour here?
Well, my plan coming in, and I told my wife this. My plan coming in was to not try to hang with Bartnick. Like, no, I'm not even kidding. Like, Bartnick is not like
we're gonna need Bartnick to be a day behind the tour. When we're in Portland, he's gonna need to be in Seattle. When we're in Sacramento, he's gonna have to be in San Francisco.
I've never seen. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even joking around. I'm not just saying this. You know, I've never seen a grown man endure what he can do and still be able to hold
it. He's a throwback
to throw it to, like to hold it together. I mean, that dude, like, he was going back to the bar. He's going, yeah, man, how about another heater? And remember, I had to tell him. I go, hey, dude, listen, I'm not.
That was at my wedding, right?
Yeah, yeah, at Bill's wedding. He goes, hey, dude, you guys, law adverse, you want another heater? And I literally, you did it.
Yeah.
And I go, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I need a break here.
The bartenders at the wedding were pulling bartenders over from other bars to watch. They were like, watch this guy. Watch what he does. The guy walking up now. Watch what he does.
And
watch
the thing about
says.
Your wedding, which was awesome, was there was never like it was never hard to get either a hard liquor. It was just always right there. And the guy knew what you wanted. So Bartnick would go, yeah, you guys want more heaters? Another round of heaters. Yeah. And he would just start giving them. And then Bartnick's just drinking his crown. And I just patted him on the back. And I was like, you all right? And he just had that shit eating grin. But he was talking straight.
All the way into the bar.
Well, he's for people who don't know him, he's a mountain of a man. Like he could give. He's like Cam Neely size. Man, he's a big dude.
Yeah, so
we're all like 5'10 or whatever, trying to keep up with a dude who's like 6'4.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, me and you, by the end of the night, we were shot, and he was just like, hey guys, you want one of these for the road? He was like helping us.
He was like Gleason when he comes back against Fast Eddie in The Hustler, when he's just sitting there putting the carnation back in his jacket.
Yep.
Let's play some pool.
Pop in his step, yeah. Well, that's how it's funny is because, like, I think over those heaters and all that drinking is how we kind of came up with this idea for the tour.
Yeah.
Was at Bill's wedding in October.
Well, see,
we just started chirping about it.
Bill's not going to be the voice of reason on this one. He's kind of letting us go. Bill's not going to be around to go, hey, guys, listen.
Well, that's a good sign you're in trouble when I'm the voice of reason.
Yeah, no, but you
How many times, how much do you have to talk me into something?
No, that's the thing. No, you know what Bill does? This is what he does. He acts like he's the guy, to keep it cool.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, really, I should go. Well, this was so funny. We were in Canada. He goes, listen, man, I'm not drinking tonight. I swear to God, I'm backstage, and he's on stage. He's on stage, and I'm thinking I'm going back to the hotel. He's like, yeah, no, not tonight. He's on stage asking the crowd, you guys know where we could – let's just say we did. Let's just say we were to go out. And then after I get – close out the show, he'll be like, yeah, we'll get one. We'll get one. So, like, he acts like he's not going to – but, see, Bartnick is just like – I mean, every tweet, crown. Like, Bartnick's in. Like,
he's all in.
He's all in, dude.
Yeah, it was hilarious. We were in Buffalo one time. He pulled the same thing in Buffalo. It was after a Bruins playoff win. We were in Buffalo doing Buffalo in June, right? And then we were like talking the whole time at the place, like, I'm gonna travel. I'm not gonna really drink tonight. Da 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 da. We get back to the hotel. He's like, you know that Bruins game's still on. Let's just go down to that little bar. We watch it. Bruins win. We celebrate. Right there at the bartender. We'll have one beer, right? We'll have one beer at the bar. If Bruins win, we're kind of celebrating. The bartender's cool. Bill goes, hey, if we were going to go out somewhere around here, what was a good place? He's like, next door. Next thing you know, we're next door getting hammered, talking to these locals, eating bacon. Remember that bacon? They put bacon out as a bar snack. Remember
that's
that
right.
Shit? So we went to this
fucking
place called
Midwest, man. I know it's Buffalo, but you're already north of Pittsburgh. And
yeah,
they're
like,
they just
fuck
don't
the
give
peanuts.
A shit.
They're like,
they
fuck the peanuts
shit.
And
Fridays
pretzels.
And Saturday
just give some
night,
bacon strips.
They bring hot bacon out in baskets for their bar snack. And I'm like, looking, I go, bacon's not cheap, man. I know food. Like, I asked the bar, I'm like, wait a minute, this is crazy. She's like, it's Friday and Saturday nights only, but it gets people drinking. They make the bacon. I asked the guy. He came out. They make the bacon. They let it cool for like 25 minutes so you don't burn yourself on it. So it's warm but not hot. And it just comes and you just eat bacon.
It was amazing. I was like, I'm not going to eat this. And then it's like literally like crack. You have a couple handfuls. And then then it's all salty. And then you want to start pounding.
Yeah.
They were setting us up. I got to do some ads here. Hang on 1 second. All right. Here we go. Let's see if I can read these without messing them up. All right. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Nothing feels better than that first shave with a fresh blade, right? It's smooth, it's close, and the blade is sharp, and it's as sharp as it's ever going to be. It feels fantastic. But thanks to the big shave company's ridiculous prices, you can't afford to use a fresh blade every week, can you? So you drag that dull-ass blade across your face for 2-3 weeks, 10 weeks? Why do you do it to yourself? Maybe because the only thing more painful than shaving with an old blade is shelling out $30 for a pack of new ones. Well, if you want to enjoy a fresh blade every week, but you don't want to go out and take out another mortgage on your house, you got to join DollarShaveClub.com. For just a couple of bucks a month, DollarShaveClub.com ships the highest quality blades you can get. There's that stuff where I'm supposed to act like I'm a four-blade guy. I like the three-blade guy. Seriously, only $6 for the best quality blades you can get. So every week, you can pop in a fresh blade and treat yourself to an amazing shave. It's incredible. Join DollarShaveClub.com. Get amazing quality blades in the mail for a couple of bucks and treat yourself to a brand new blade every single week. Hundreds of thousands of guys Jesus, I suck this week. Hundreds of thousands of guys with their have upgraded. See, this isn't me. This is the copy. Hundreds of thousands of guys have upgraded their shaving with Dollar Shave Club. I'm one of them, and I'm loving it. Now it's your turn. Shave time, shave money, dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. All right, one more here. Stamps.com, everybody, the classic. I know it's tough deciding where to focus your resources to grow your business. Well, isn't it? But one thing I can tell you, you don't need to waste valuable time going to the post office for mailing and shipping anymore. Why, you ask? Well, I'll tell you why. Just use Stamps.com to access all the services of the post office right from your desk 24/7. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Get postage for any letter or package, any class of mail, all for just a fraction of the cost of an expense of a postage meter. With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again, so you can spend your time where it matters most, focused on your business or other areas of your body. I use Stamps.com. Right now, use your last name, Bill Burr. What? Right now, use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. No risk trial. Plus, a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr.
Oh, I'll tell you, that was a rough one, you know?
Kenny parried that one.
That was terrible. No, but then you guys were moving in the background, and then when you guys started talking to each other.
That's golf. Let me finish. That's golf.
No. That's also basketball. That's every other fucking sport. Were you trying to take a foul shot? No, what it was I started thinking, like, this is how uninterested people are at home listening to this shit. Because fact that you guys,
I love, you know, my
talking.
Favorite part is, like, when I watch, I've been watching every dribble of March Madness because I've been having this bad back. Like, I literally have seen, like, more traveling calls than the refs have. But the thing is, I've been sitting there the whole time, and I love, like, Vern Lundquist is the best because, you know, we talk about, like, dialing stuff in. Like, that guy, like, when he's doing he's been broadcasting for 100 years, but he has to do those live spots for, like, 60 minutes, you know? He's like, well, 12-18 to go, and Kentucky's right back in it on this one. Coming up tonight is 60 minutes. Don't forget to catch the Pink Panthers. Do we get the Jewel Thieves or don't we? Tonight in 60 minutes. And you're like, the horny hates that.
I love how
you compared
reading ads on a podcast. That's golf. That's how tough golf is. Right there.
No,
well, there you go. There's your point made. All right. Well, let's get into how I actually met you.
Point made.
How I met you assholes out on the road. The fact that I would loan the Monday Morning Podcast presents the All Things Comedy Tour. For some reason, you can't be late to this thing because you downloaded it. But if you're playing this and your wife is walking around in the background, or husband, once again, the All Things Comedy Tour is coming to San Diego Tuesday, April 1st. It's going to be in Bellevue, Washington, Sunday, April 6th at Parlor Live. Helium Comedy Club, Portland, Oregon. And then two nights at the Punchline in San Francisco, the 8th and 9th, in Sacramento on the 10th.
Yeah, then we're going to be swinging it over to the East Coast in a couple months. More dates to follow. I think they're working on that, but I'm looking forward to doing it.
East Coast dates are coming,
Cleveland,
I think, end of May.
Philly,
yeah.
Boston. Right. But we're doing
and
your
I
hometown.
I co-sign all these guys open for me. If you've come out and seen any of my shows basically in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, it's been one of these guys opening for me. So I'm excited for you guys. I was actually trying to think who I met first. I think I met you, Lawhead.
Yeah. We've known each other for a long time.
It's coming up on 10 years. No,
it's over 10 years. You know what's funny is I didn't want to get like sentimental about it.
We drank our first whiskey.
But no, like we did that show. We did that show on New Year's Eve. We did that show on New Year's Eve at the Wiltern. And that was literally 10 years to the day we met. We like hung out on New Year's Day, 10 years. Like New Year's Eve, you did Cleveland and then hung out. That's when we became friends. It's like you just came and hung out with me on New Year's Day because you had nothing to do. We were dark, but you had to stay in Cleveland for like two more nights
to finish
Mercy, the week.
This was the deal. Like New Year's Eve was a Wednesday.
Like a Wednesday or Thursday.
So then there was New Year's Day, and nobody's coming out that day. But then there was you still had the weekend. So I had this weird weekend there where I was working New Year's. I was doing a run the whole week doing New Year's, and I had a day off. Yeah. So I had a day off, and Nick, the club owner, the greatest guy ever at – hilarities out there in Cleveland. He goes, you know, just watch out for the guy. You know, keep him company, blah, blah. Dude, we fucking drank all day. They actually lost me at one point. We somehow ended up in this brutal titty bar.
Yeah.
Brutal.
The Silver Horse. Even at the level drunk I was at. I think it was the Silver Horse. And that's... And, yeah.
That's how boring Cleveland is. You need, like, the comic needs to be assigned somebody to just fucking make
it. No, that's how it was. Yeah, like, yeah. I was like that guy. I was like, hey, Jason, what are you doing? No, well, entertain this guy, please.
Cleveland is way better than even it was, like, 10 years ago.
I was just there recently. It's growing.
What's
growing.
His face? Yeah, like, and I wish I had money back then because I was like, I'm going to buy a friggin' building because you could see it coming. It's coming back around. Unlike Detroit, which keeps starting and stopping, Cleveland
You could buy a hospital for like 80 grand in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they showed houses on the market there.
I'm closing on a hospital.
you could get like a 4-bedroom house there for like $36,000. It's insane.
Dude, but I got to tell you though, but like when I first played Hilarities in Cleveland, that was the only game in town on that street. You walked up that street like a cop met you at the corner.
Yeah.
I crossed the street out of my hotel. So the cop met you at the corner and walked you up the street. And now it's like closed off to traffic. They got the House of Blues across the street. They got all this stuff going on.
Restaurants and stuff.
And I remember seeing this giant apartment building like right across the way. I think Mike was living there at the time or around the corner. And I was thinking like I was literally thinking that. I go, I bet you could buy that thing for 75 grand. And in 20 years, it's going to be worth like millions of dollars as this whole thing eventually hopefully comes back.
Yeah, well, you know, they got the casino. They just built another casino, like not downtown, but somewhere else. But
that's not a good idea.
I don't like that idea. I just don't like the casino idea. I think that we could have built that. That there's no reason that city can't be built on its waterfront and its character and its position geographically in the country.
Do casinos? Then it's like
casinos.
It's like nightlife for like toddlers.
The nice thing about the casinos.
We're close to Chicago. We're close to DC. We're close to New York. There's no reason we can't be successful. Because
you know what's
of that.
Funny though? The nice thing was I said to you know Bo. The cop.
Oh, I love Bo.
I said he loves your parents and stuff. But I said to Bo, how come where's the home? Because homeless is big out there. Big. Like they come after you. And I go, how come it's light on the homeless? And he goes, they're all at the casino.
Yeah.
I was just like, all
right. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're just all hanging out at the
casino. Playing nickel slots all day long.
That was like the lottery for them.
Then you're bringing in the
barefoot people. They started stretching. They started stretching when that place
came. Yeah, right?
Why would homeless people go to a casino? They don't have any fucking money. What are they doing there?
Whatever they make. Some of those people make decent money. It's amazing.
I love that theory. Some of those guys, they make like 100 grand a
year. Some of them do. Now, I don't know about 100 grand a year, but some of them make
still
money.
Still sit in their own urine in that fucking cardboard box? I mean, talk about committed to the scam.
Freezing fucking Ohio weather.
They were fucking... what's that shit when your feet frostbite?
Yeah,
like black toes making 100 grand a year. You know, you gotta make sacrifices.
You gotta make sacrifices.
Yeah, hey, so NFL guys smash their brains around the homeless; they lose their toes.
Coal miners
do that scam in South Beach. What the
coal
fuck
miners
you doing
get
it?
Black lung; you get a black foot.
Dude, I gotta tell you, when I was in San Francisco, I was just up there trying to find some place where I could shoot my special, and dude, I have never seen so many people laying around not doing shit. Than that city. I don't know what.
They're everywhere.
Well, they used to have a stipend. They used to fucking give them money. This was hilarious.
Like give the homeless money?
They would give them enough money to try to get them off the street. It was one of those things where it made sense if you were giving it to people who thought sensibly. But they didn't. They gave it to the fucking homeless. So they would give you enough money so you could afford rent in some flop house for a month. So what would happen is the first 4 days of the month, you wouldn't see any homeless people. They were all inside drinking and shooting and drugs and all that shit with the money. They'd have enough money for 4 days, and then by the fifth day, they'd start coming out like zombies, and then you had the problem again. So they were basically buying themselves like a 4 or 5 day reprieve. Now, of course, as always with all my stories, that's just something that like four or five people did tell me that story in San Francisco. I don't know if it's true, but I was there, and they had all these beautiful parks. And, dude, these people are snoozing to a level you actually start thinking, like, what am I working for? Like, look at that. Dude, I saw this guy. Like, he was, like, face down in the sun like some, like, old hound dog. And I was really
like
just
cat.
Thinking, like, this fucking guy, like, I know he's living outside, but he's eating.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't have any conference calls. There's no – debt doesn't wake him up. This guy – dude, it was such a beautiful, sunny day. It was one of those days where you actually would entertain the thought that I could, like, maybe I could just fucking live outside.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. Dude, and I took a picture of the guy and I tweeted it. And what was funny is I didn't even realize that there was another guy in the background. It's like you can't just get one. There's so many of them when you get to the parks just fucking lying all over the place.
I saw one. I was just there doing Cobbs a couple weeks ago. And I saw a guy laying on a park bench, sleeping, covered up. Champagne bottle at his feet, right? Cops strolling. I was sitting in another park bench, just people watching. This guy's hilarious. He just bundled up. Not only am I watching this guy, he's got the champagne bottle half full at his feet. Two cops come strolling up towards him. They're like, hey, got it. Let's go. Pick it up. Let's go. And one guy picks up, and he, like, wakes up out of a panic. And he sees the one cop holding his half-empty bottle, and he's getting ready to go pour it out. And he's, like, panicking, like, hey, it's not my wine. And the guy doesn't care. He knows. He's like, yeah, I'm sure it's not. He's, like, pouring it out, right? The funniest thing is this guy, when he got up and he rattled up, and I noticed it after he woke up, he put it up there. He had American Airlines the patches to cover your eyes so you can see.
Oh, the sleep mask.
He had an American Airlines logo, flimsy little one that they probably give you on the flight. And they were so then they were up on his forehead as he was like begging for like mercy from these cops. And I'm looking at him going, wait a minute, what are you worried about anyway? Dude. Them putting you under a roof? Like a roof? What are you worried about?
Yeah, but dude, I would rather sleep outside and worry about getting hit over the head with a log than fucking take one of my ass at county.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I heard
I just like a bed.
They actually, one of those cities, when they had like the stipend, other cities were flying their fucking homeless people in there to just get rid of them because they were having, and then they started sending them back. I forget what the fuck happened. Maybe that's where that guy got the mask. I can't remember.
Well, that would be hilarious if that's where he got the mask and still had it.
That's what I'm guessing.
The other night in New York, I saw a lot of the homeless. They sleep on the top step of the church, but the church never lets them in. So, like, they're just laying there.
Why would you?
What? No, I know. It's but business. It's just like, but after a while, they got to be like, listen, they're not listening. They're not opening up. Let's go somewhere else. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're just laying on the thing, and it's almost like sad because it's almost like they have the belief and the faith, and they're being shut out.
Well, I think that the church,
fuck it, dude. I'm going to Starbucks or I'm going somewhere else because someone's not listening here.
Right.
You know, I'm showing my faith.
No, but
you know
it's good business for them to let them stay there. Like, they give a fuck, but they're not going to let them in. But I don't know. That seems like a safe place. You want a safe place to sleep if you're home. I wonder if any homeless people
listen. Why don't you just let them sleep on the church floor?
Because I don't want it smelling there.
You know the saddest part about how this conversation got steered into is we were talking about Cleveland. It's the saddest part of it all.
Yeah.
Well, we've just gone to the dregs of humanity. How did the topic start? Cleveland. But anyway.
No, but I find that interesting when I kept seeing
Paul, you don't want a bunch of smelly homeless people stinking up the church for the decent people who come in on Sundays. And that might sound like Fox News, but at the end of the day, if you smell like urine, you smell like urine. You got to go outside with the dogs.
What if the dude doesn't smell and he's just freezing, you know? Put him in one of the pews and let him, you know?
Don't fucking let him sleep in your basement.
He'll start smelling when he thaws out.
I didn't say I'm going to let him sleep in my... But
he smells good, though, Paul. Yeah, you just got some Irish
I don't know him. He's a stranger.
Neither does the church. He's going to go in there and steal all the chalices that they stole from the other fucking people.
I just feel like if he's saying that he's got faith in that church, they should do something. That's all. That's what church should be. That's what it's about, right?
Should be a homeless shelter?
Listen, faith costs money, baby. Put a little in the basket
on
Sunday.
But that's my point. That's my point.
Faith costs money.
What is your point, Paul?
My point is that like they have the faith.
Are you trying to get deep on us here?
No. I'm just saying like, you know. No, what I'm saying is I see them laying on the front step of the churches, and it's kind of a sad thing to see because they're wrapped up in their blankets and they have so much faith in that belief, yet the doors are never opening. And it was just an observation that I found fucked up.
Why do you think that the fact that they're sleeping on the stairs means they believe in Jesus Christ?
I'm not saying that they – I'm just saying that it's just – I think the people that
so
choose –
the whole thing is unraveling.
No, I think the fact that these people choose to be on the top step at the door of a church – tells me that they have some sort of faith because I think people
what if it rains? You want to be underneath the arch.
But there's a million. You could go under, you know, awnings of places, or you could go under, you know, buildings.
Right.
That
or you
have
could
a little
sleep on church stairs. Yeah. It doesn't mean you believe in Burger King.
But you know what? The church that I saw this guy on, there was no roof. He was just sleeping there, man. So I just put
that probably safe. I don't think he believes in it.
Okay.
I don't think he does.
Because you know him.
No, but you don't know him either.
No, I don't, but I think it's...
He could or he might not. Just because you're sleeping on church stairs doesn't mean you fucking believe in anything.
But wouldn't you think it's a good guess to think that he's got some sort of faith if that's his choice of...
I would think it would be safer to sleep there than outside of White Castle.
This is the first dude you've called it on a homeless.
Where the fuck is Bartnick? He ain't making it. Yeah.
That's Bartnick right there.
Give me another shot.
He ain't going to make it. Bartnick is going to make it. This is the dedication. This is the dedication we're going to have to this fucking tour. Is that what we're saying here?
No, but going back to drinking.
Wait, no, let's start some more arguments here. Hey, so you're a Cleveland Indians fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. Today. He's a Yankees fan. All right?
The old American League East.
The old American League East.
That's
now,
right.
How do you feel about both of our teams and the way we spend money each year?
I think it's disgusting. Now, I will say that Boston last year won it in a way where they didn't go out and they didn't spend any more than they kind of had been spending. I love the fact that most of the trend is all these teams that are spending money aren't really the teams that are being successful at the end of the day.
Dude,
when
the
it comes
Dodgers,
to a championship.
The Dodgers spent $235 million.
Dodgers.
They outspend the Yankees.
Yeah, they're the number one. The Dodgers.
How excited
are, number one.
Are you?
I loved it.
That since you can finally say that. See,
I loved it. No, not because of that. I just love the fact that like the Dodgers are trying to. You know, the Dodgers are going all in.
Well, they have
all
to.
In.
They have to. All in tour.
But see, no, but that's
why?
The thing.
I mean,
no, but you say,
to,
yeah,
because
but see,
they've been 25 years without a championship. They've corrected their financial situation after the guy in Magic's new, you know, I forget the guy's name that ran him into the
so
ground.
So spending $230 million is the way to
well,
go?
Well, you know, they didn't set the trend. I got to believe that if they believe that they're going to do something that Yankees or Boston have done, which they haven't done yet in this economics of baseball. Yeah, you got to do it. I mean, the last time they won was in 88 when the economics were shifting a little, but it wasn't a five mega market league being able to spend that kind of There's only five teams that can spend that kind of money. So why wouldn't they if they're one of the five teams that can spend
Jay,
that kind of money?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that baseball allowed it to go the direction? What was the thinking that it was good to let fucking the Yankees do what they did, which caused the Red Sox to have to react to it, and then we became them. I mean, we're not right now, I don't think, but we in 07. I mean, there's nobody on the planet that can't tell me in 07 we didn't buy a fucking title.
Well, I think it all stems back. A lot of it stems back from obviously you can't change what happens money wise, but I think a lot of it stems back to when the owners were. You know, found out about the collusion in the late 80s, and they had to pay. Once they paid the players' union, I think $350 million settlement for collusion, and the players' union.
Which was basically what owners getting together going, don't
they said,
don't pay
Jack Morris, is what it was. Jack Morris was on the free agent market, I think, in 86 or 87, and the Tigers' owner told all the other owners, don't pay him, keep him at the market value that we have, and it'll, in the long run, yeah, we get to keep Jack Morris, but in the long run, all you guys will be able to keep your Kirby Puckett's and your Roger Clemens's at a price that won't gouge us. That was fine. Blah, blah, blah. The end of the day is it strengthened the players' union to a point where the salaries have gotten to the point that the players' union really runs the market. And they run the market, so now the big market teams that have the money, they've opened – the players' unions has made it – able to be able to spend for those teams to spend that money, and the rich teams can.
Well, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, as long as there's no cap in baseball, 80% of the teams will never win a World Series.
As long as
there's no cap, the Kansas City Royals are never going to win.
I don't know if it's that high, but I mean, it's got at least 60.
Close.
The one thing is what baseball's tried to do is obviously with the wild card and now the extra wild card.
Right.
They've tried to make it somewhat competitive, whereas a team like Cleveland or Minnesota, if by the All-Star break, if we look like we're playing really well with the guys we've groomed in, we can go out and, you know, if the Philadelphia Phillies are falling flat on their face, we can go out and get a Jimmy Rollins if he wants to wave his trade clause and be like, you know what, I want to go play for these guys. They're pretty good. I'm at a certain point in my career. I go hit, you know, win a title, whatever. That's the only thing baseball's done to kind of recoup that. But
I don't know why they just don't look at the NFL and be like, okay, the way they're doing it, Green Bay can compete with New York City. Can Milwaukee compete with Boston? No. But Brewers compete with the Red Sox? They can't. So what the
Players Union.
Why don't we do
And why should
Players
Union
so strong? Because they can get Players Union get the guys paid.
So do you think there's another lockout coming?
We're talking lockout here on the podcast.
I like talking this stuff. I don't see it looming anytime soon. I think baseball's in probably a pretty good labor situation. Because now the players have had to kind of crawl with their tails between their legs a little bit in the last few years with the PEDs and everything else. So they've kind of had to kind of come off their high horse a bit. So now there's a little bit of love, but there's a little bit of balance between players and owners because the players have kind of had to go, yeah, we were doing all this shit.
That's so fucked up that those guys actually went in front of like the Senate or whatever the fuck was going on. I don't understand. I just don't get why politics had to get involved. Why am I watching Kurt Schilling talking to some representative from Minnesota?
Yeah, because it's just fucking all stupid.
Yeah, he should be talking to his accountant.
Bullshit.
Hey, speaking of all this, this ties in with a question here that somebody said. I said, Bill, what team? Dear Billy Bats, if you could coach one team in history without knowing the outcome of the season, which team would you pick? Keep in mind, stacked teams don't always win championships, and there are other teams that could have won, perhaps with some better coaching. What the fuck? That was like a brain twister, like a train's going this way. If I could coach one team in history without knowing the outcome of the season, which would I pick? Keep in mind, stacked teams don't always win championships. Yeah, but the teams won the championship. I know if I coached the Cowboys in 78, they beat the Broncos. I don't get your question. I'll just
talk. All right, drop that part of it. But what team would you coach? Because that is an interesting question. Like, if you could coach one team.
No, I think the question is saying now. Like, I think the question is basically, like, what you see now. If you could coach one of these teams that's out there now.
Oh, to go out and try to win a championship.
Don't look who's stacked, but just say, well, who would you want to coach?
He says one team in history.
Oh, okay. All right. Then.
Look, this guy is either really smart and we're dumb, or this is a fucking confusion question. I don't fucking know. If I could coach one team, how about can I play on the team instead? Look, I'll go every era. In hockey, if I could play on any team, I would play for the 80s Edmonton Oilers. If I could coach. Dude, you're a coach's son. Who would you coach?
If I could coach one team one time, I would probably coach Larry Bird's 79 Indiana State team against Magic. I'd like to coach that game. I'd like to see if we could if
oh,
I
so
could help. I'd like to see if I could beat Magic.
Maybe
with
that's
Bird
his
that
question.
Game.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to coach the fucking 79 Dallas Cowboys and the 76 Dallas Cowboys
against the Steelers
in both, and I would win the fucking game.
Yeah,
that's how confident I am because they had their number in the first half. Oh, this is why we need Bartnick. Dude, somebody put up the 70 Super Bowl 10. They put that up on the internet. Dude, the Cowboys called a reverse on the first play, reverse to Hollywood Henderson. He ran down the field. Their kicker tackled him. He took a knee to the ribs, fucked up three of his field goals, and they were playing loose and all that, and they were up. And then they played Marty ball in the second half, and they got all fucking tight. And they basically conserved the game away. As far as the 79. Oh, I guess I wouldn't know this. I wouldn't throw it to fucking Jackie Slater or whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah, Jackie Smith.
Bless his heart.
He's the sickest man in America.
I would coach.
Did you see they outlawed the dunk? You know, they made that a penalty now, the dunk over the goalpost. And you were saying Hollywood Henderson. Hollywood Henderson invented the dunk of the goalpost. They just had a big
special. Was he the first one who did it?
They had a big thing on ESPN. Yeah, it was the owner's meeting over the winter. It's a 15-yard penalty now if you dunk the ball because Joey Graham and all these guys. It's a, you know, they dated it back to history. They're like, who the first man? And it was Hollywood Henderson after a reverse. Landry used to call that reverse all the time to Hollywood Henderson. And it was in 75, they called a reverse to Hollywood Henderson in a regular season game. And he busted one loose for a touchdown. And he was the first guy, and they show it. He's the first guy to go up and dunk it over the goalpost. And
so why did they outlaw that?
Because they're tearing down some goalposts. Guys have gotten hurt, I guess. I don't know.
Wow, you got $1 million.
One time, Joey Graham from the Saints was so strong, he pulled one down where they had to come out and re-level the goalpost because it wasn't, you know. So he pulled it, and then the next guy that kicks in it is kicking it in.
Not a lot of white guys upset about that rule.
Wes Welker not bitching about that rule. Wes Welker needs to be on Jimmy Graham's shoulders to dunk it.
Well, this is the deal. I would actually, if I could coach any team in history, what I would probably do is I would maybe the 86 Red Sox.
Yeah,
but then I put
Dave Stapleton in at first.
Yeah, but that's only because I know.
Yeah, no, but
what was going to happen? So right. I couldn't know. So like I would try to pick a team that hasn't won a championship, but I live in Boston and they've just run the table. So yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer. I would 100% coach the Knicks, and I would make them run. Listen to me. I would make them run. I would make them run until they puked. If they didn't play defense, they're out. They're fined. I would fucking go nuts.
How fast would this team quit on me?
I know, exactly. You'd be the second Knick coach in history to get choked.
I would. I would fucking. I'd lay into those lazy cocksuckers. I swear to God, dude.
Would be fun, actually. Yeah. I would like to just take a horrible team and just be terrible. You fucking guys suck!
Are you shitting me? You don't get back.
Just get all my shit off of my chest.
Listen, I would do what Gene Hackman did in Hoosiers. Minimum of three passes, okay? You fuckers are going to run all day. We're practicing the first month without a ball. Yeah. You are running up and down. Carmelo Anthony's.
You think I can do this with pros?
They're off. Carmelo Anthony's lazy weed face would fucking get into shape.
I'd be like, Carmelo, you want to wear that headband? Go take it off the top of the backboard.
Yeah. I would fucking turn into. Oh, that's what I would do.
But it would be.
Hey! Joey Bartnick.
I totally apologize. I had to do my puck off podcast, and I thought I said I couldn't be here until 2.
No, it's all right.
Don't worry about it. Between you guys, like, you need another 10 mics. I don't think anyone's missing my.
We're currently answering a question right now.
This would be perfect for you.
If you could coach any team in history, not knowing the outcome, if you could just be the head coach, who would you want to be head coach of?
Oh, the Steelers. 78 Steelers.
78. Oh, I want to do the 78 Cowboys or 76 Cowboys.
76
Cowboys. You didn't have to just roll them
out. Bartnick was ready for that shit. You would have thought you'd text Bartnick the question before he walked into that
fucking place. Or the 83 Sixers.
Yeah, I was thinking of them, too. I said
Sixers.
They played 4-on-5. They just played Ivorone. They played 4-on-5. They beat you anyway.
Yeah.
I put them up against the 96 Bulls.
Yeah, we talked about that on mine.
Everybody goes, who's going to stop Jordan? I'm like, well, I think Dr. J could kind of offset a lot of the shit he was doing. Nobody's and then I got Moses against fucking Luke Longley.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's beating the 96 Bulls.
That's because you're a child of the 90s.
Dude, that team.
I said I wanted to coach
the
79 Indiana State.
They were as good defensively as they were offensively.
That's a good point.
Oh, that's a good one.
But I'm telling you, but Luke Longley would have 4 fouls by the end of the first quarter. Trying to stop Moses Malone.
Yeah. And, and in all fairness, I didn't see enough of that 76ers team, but how good was Pippen on defense? I mean, that defensively, they were
phenomenal. There's a reason I picked the 96 Bulls.
They were great. Well, Andrew Toney had bad feet, or Andrew Toney would be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew Toney could stroke. They didn't have 3-pointers back then.
Six-year career.
Yeah. He could stroke them. He could stroke
them. Strangler.
Yeah, that was a great.
He could stroke them. I mean that was the ultimate two-man game. You had to double team Eminem. Yep. Moses Malone in your mouth. He went from high school to dominating the ABA. The ABA was like a fucking prison rec league.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
he was people were afraid of Moses Malone. Like, he was 17.
Yeah, he was a beast.
I mean, he was.
That's back. Remember the man expression? A man child. And it was like him, Daryl Dawkins. He never lived up to
it. Was he the first guy to come out that early?
Yeah, yes. Moses was.
Daryl Dawkins was second.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is Moses Malone and LeBron James are the only two guys in the history of the NBA to win consecutive MVP awards with different teams, and they both never played college ball. It's pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you take out the big three, you know, the Mount, you know, Wilt, Kareem, and Bill Russell, and the next, I mean, it's Moses Malone.
Moses, the beast.
And Moses was just like a 6'10" truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 17.
Who just didn't?
That's crazy.
Who just didn't? He just didn't miss.
What did they lose that year? They lost one playoff game.
I mean, that's
game.
A high school kid. That's a baby.
Opening round.
Coming into that.
Firstly, they lost one playoff game. They actually asked Moses to predict. That's his famous thing. He goes, what do you think about the playoffs? And he just goes, foe. Just mean we're going to sweep everybody. Yeah. And they basically, but they lost one to the Lakers?
It was three foe. Because back then it was the first round game was a five.
But
I
his
think.
Quote oh, was right. foe.
Three foe.
Okay. But the funny thing was, is I was a huge Sixer fan. Huge Sixer fan back in the day. I was a huge Doctor fan. Huge Sixer fan. And when he got traded, because you couldn't, they could never win, because Caldwell Jones and Dawkins and whatever, and Steve Mix, whatever agglomeration Steve of Mix. Shit that they put together to stop either like Parrish or Jabbar would never work. Yeah. So when they got him, and he was sitting on the cover of Rocky, he was like sitting on the steps like Rocky, it was like you knew it was over. There was never a lock in the history of sports like Moses going to the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Like you knew it was over. It was a lock.
How come they only won one though?
Because Dr. J was old. Moses wasn't. I mean, he wasn't old, but he was. Dude, Moses played back in the day where that dude played 46 minutes a night, dragging dudes up and down. That's what I say, like
because of Black Monday is why they never won one. Black Monday. The only time I ever cried in sports, other than like Lemieux getting cancer, I never cried in sports. Black Monday, dude. They traded. They traded Moses Malone and the rights to Brad Daugherty for Roy Hinson and Ruland. Dude, they traded.
I don't even know who they are.
Dude, Brad Daugherty's doing NASCAR shit.
But they traded like the front line would have been Barkley, Brad Daugherty, and Moses Malone. Moses said, I will never lose to the 76ers again. Dude, the Bullets won like 8 games that year. Like five of them were against the Sixers.
Yeah, that was
30-25. He was like 30-25 against.
Dude, Brad Daugherty has probably the most epic fucking hairline.
It's crazy. Any.
It almost touches his eyebrows. I mean, the fucking guy when he gets his shape up. I mean, they got to like put a separator like at the grocery store between his eyebrows and his.
It's just something sad about seeing Brad Daugherty talk NASCAR. You know, he's just sitting there talking nasty.
It was even sadder when seeing him sit on the bench at All-Star games.
I was going to say.
as soon as Shaq got drafted, it was like, well, there it goes.
That's probably when he made his decision for NASCAR. He's probably like, fuck this. Yeah.
It's like, Brad Daugherty can now make plans for All-Star weekend.
Yeah. How did he fucking go from...
He's like one of the main announcers for NASCAR.
Black Mountain, North Carolina, and he grew up in that shit, and he loves it. He's always loved it.
Well, that's all right. Then he ended up doing something. Guys, I got to read a couple of my last three brutal reads of this week. This is not a
Vern Lundquist.
I'm not on my game here this week. I'm going to try to focus. All right, this is just like golfing. All right, eVoice, everybody. What your business? Dude, I fucked up the first word. eVoice, everybody. Want your business to make more money? eVoice can help. Here's how. When your customers call, you'll have your own toll-free number, professional greeting, dial-by-name directory, and more. You'll sound like a Fortune 500 company and really stand out from your competitors. eVoice lets you give one number that rings wherever you are. You could be at your kid's soccer game. You'll never miss a chance to grow your business. eVoice takes all your voicemail calls, transcribes them, and sends them to you instantly as a text or an email. Email. So you can check your voicemails before the meeting ends and not look rude. eVoice is only $13 a month. And right now, my listeners get to try eVoice free for 60 days. That's right, a 60-day free trial. Don't put this off. Turn down the radio, get a computer, and set up your eVoice 60-day free trial now so you can see what I mean. Go to eVoice.com, promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. All right, the next one. LegalZoom, everybody. If the excitement of starting your business, getting your first customer and finally quitting your job hasn't moved you to action yet, here's another great reason to get started. It's National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom.com, and they want to help you start your own business or corporation or LLC or file a DBA so you can get up and running quickly and easily. Find out why more than 1 million entrepreneurs use LegalZoom to start down the path of successful business ownership. This month only, take advantage of their National Start Your Business Month special and get a free 3-month trial of all new QuickBooks, making it so much easier to run your new business. That's $119 value for absolutely free when you enter Burr in the referral box checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr, LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. All right. There we go. I'll save the other one till the end. So anyways, Joe Bartnick, you excited for the All Things Comedy Tour here, the All-In Tour.
It's going to be epic.
It's It's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic. Look at this.
His game plan is he's going to try to avoid you as far as like his drinking. He's going to try to like he's going to try to.
Oh, you're not drinking either?
No, I'm drinking. They.
You're drinking, right?
No. We were talking about.
I love the point,
dude. Lawhead hasn't drinking 39 days.
89 days.
That's because he's broke. Is that why we're going on tour? So now Lawhead can afford to drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Lawhead can buy a drink. It's just because the Lawhead can afford to buy a drink tour.
Exactly. That's exactly why we're going.
He just pointed at you. Like he was an NFL coach and you were a defensive player who missed an assignment. I'm drinking, but he said, like, we were talking about smoking cigars and drinking. And Bill said, what's your game plan to not, you know, to not gain so much weight and go nuts? And I go, listen, I got to really just watch Bartnick because Bartnick is, you know, you got that thing, dude. You're unstoppable. You're fucking unstoppable.
No, the thing is you're like an idiot. Every year at the Rose Bowl, I try to go blow for blow.
No,
with
you
this
can't.
Guy. I don't know
you
why I do.
I was telling him at the wedding. You were like, you guys want another heater? And like after the fifth time, I was like, Joe, man, we just met. I was like, dude, I love you. I can't right now. Like, I need a break. And the end of the night, you had those crowns, the shots, and you're smoking a cigar, and you're just intact. You were just fucking intact. It was
it's
just,
the way
was
we,
just like,
it's the way we grow them in Pittsburgh. I was back home with this weekend. And I told people, I said, I know people in Hollywood, like, I think I got to go to rehab. I'm like, first of all, you drink wine.
Yeah.
And I said, second of all, my aunts drink more than you before dinner. I mean, people, you know, it's like, it's just booze. It's drink. There's never peer pressure because there's more booze for me.
No, don't get me
there's
wrong.
There's more booze for me.
I don't
want to run out. Some of these towns, they stop early. So we got to keep that in mind.
No. I'm going to definitely have some drinks with you, but
you guys have a rider. What is the rider on this tour?
I don't know.
I haven't even seen it. I didn't even have a ride. Contract. Yeah.
We don't even have a ride.
We're looking for openers.
I think it's going to be an amazing tour. If you guys, these guys are like, they're guys, they're fucking hilarious. They know smarts. And, you know, it's not going to be, trust me, it's definitely worth the money. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to have all the dates up here. They're playing San Diego, Bellevue, Washington, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco twice, and Sacramento so far. And then they got an East Coast thing lineup. I'm really psyched for you guys, man.
Got some Midwest shows. I got people in. I want to thank everyone that came to the shows this week in Pittsburgh. They were awesome. We're coming back as the tour.
Nice.
They're stoked for us. And the DVE guys are stoked for us to come. And
nice.
Yeah, have you guys met? You guys met? I
told them all. I told them all about you. They're gonna. Awesome. Yeah, they're gonna.
They're gonna make fun of me. Is what they're gonna do?
No, we feel your pain.
No, you don't.
We feel your pain.
What do you feel? You don't feel our pain. You have six Super Bowl championships.
Oh, this is the Cleveland Pittsburgh rivalry.
There is no rivalry.
There is no rivalry. There is no rivalry. We don't. We can't. You can't.
No, I'm serious.
No, there isn't. They're right. There's not a rivalry. It's your Browns rivalry is now the Ravens. That we don't even have a rivalry with you because we haven't put up a fight in 15 years. I mean, it's not. It's true. It doesn't exist. You think that there's people that on the outside looking in that remember that old Browns Steelers? That doesn't exist. You go to Cleveland for Browns Steelers games. It's a sea of black. There's no Browns fans there. They sell their tickets to Pittsburgh fans. There is no rivalry. You can't. Be rival.
I remember
when
the
you
saddest
can't
one
compete.
Of the saddest moment. One of the saddest moments in Lawhead's adult life. We're watching a Steeler game at a bar in San Francisco. He was up there hanging out. I'm doing shows. You did some sets.
Oh, that's and, right.
Walk in the booth. We look over the booth next to us. A guy grew up right next door to him.
Yeah, like four houses down.
Four houses down. He's cheering for the Steelers, and he goes. And he's like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I just gave up. I wanted to back a winner."
We see this kid in a booth next to me. He grew up four houses down from me. I'm like, holy Christ. He's wearing it's a Sunday football. All the different people are in there watching different teams, right? And he's like, Lawhead. And I go, he's wearing like a Cordell Stewart shirt. I went, oh my God, really? And he just said, he goes, you know what? I just gave up a long time ago. I said, are you wearing a Steeler? Are you rooting for the Steelers?
I know. This is the thing. I understand just saying, fuck it. I'm not watching it anymore. And then go to a different conference.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't even root for anybody in the AFC.
Exactly.
I would.
I mean, if I would root for any, I've contemplated it. And my contemplations are, I would go, and I know you hate them, but they're central to me, and I like the new young quarterback. If I had to quit, which I've thought of, I'm thinking of quitting and going to Indy.
I don't mind Indy.
Right. Well, I mean,
I don't mind Indy.
I like Luck. They're close by. They're a small little town. They've done everything right. I'm thinking I might.
Their own I've drugs.
Talked, well, whatever. I've talked.
No, yeah, that's a plus in my book.
Right, exactly. I'm saying their owner does drugs.
Yeah.
He sits on the rules committee. Right, yeah, he changes rules of passing to help.
I don't see how anybody could do it. I think it's just crazy. That's like a Knicks fan becoming a fucking Brooklyn Nets fan. It's despicable, man. It can't do it.
I'm just saying, if I thought about it.
I agree with Bill. Just stop watching it. Just stop watching it and give up. But you can't just automatically take your jersey off and go buy it, go to the store and buy another fucking jersey.
Then what happens when your team actually fucking wins it?
Yeah, then you're an idiot. Then you deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve your team to win it a couple years later.
Well, that's not going to actually happen.
No.
It has to happen. Eventually,
listen,
it has to
listen.
Happen.
We're going to I guarantee we win it this year. It opens on,
dude,
it
that's
opens
a guy
on
that,
April 11th.
Dude, that's a guy that rats out his friends.
It's a movie called Draft Day. It opens on, I'm sure something good's going to come out of
that. That's a guy that rats out his friends if you do that. If you do that, if you switch uniforms because they're not winning, you're a rat. You'll rat
out. It's definitely, it's a character flaw.
You're Wolf of Wall Street.
You'll rat your friends out. You can't trust that guy. You going to trust that guy?
No.
You can't trust that fucking
guy. No, exactly.
The guy's been going to a stadium with his mother and father as a kid, and then he just fucking throws in the towel and throws on the enemy shirt. That kid will sell you down a fucking...
Yeah, the enemy shirt is... That's evil.
That's dad. That's a character. That's a character flaw. Something's wrong.
No, you're right. And I think and that person specifically, I'm not going to name names. You know, yeah.
I needed you a puck off today. There's a lot of Bruin stuff going on. Speaking of, my man crush, what he did? Jeez. What did he do? What, dude, hitting the guy in the balls from behind with a stick.
I didn't see it. Was that the Flyers yesterday?
No, Canadian Capitals? Game.
Oh, the Canadian game. Dude, I was so jet lagged, so wiped off from my tour. I actually forgot. Monday night's usually dark. Not only did they have a game, they played the Canadians. I missed every second of that. I saw the Capitals game. I saw the Flyers game this week. And who else did they play? I think they.
But Luch, dude, what Luch? He speared him from the back under his butt, like hit him in the taint. The guy went down like a house of cards. It was not something. Luch ain't gonna put that on his highlight reel.
I gotta see that.
Back with a taint.
I gotta see that.
Yeah, he sticked him underneath. Like it was really. I'm like, Luch, what are you doing?
Well, just so the people know, we're not going to just talk sports on the tour.
No, my sports jokes are I cut them out.
The nice thing is
like,
the nice thing
because
is
they're old
this
now,
tour,
Tagger.
Oh, you know, I'm fucking around.
The great thing about this tour is like we're all alike, but our comedy's different, which is great.
I'm clean.
All right, well, we're gonna have to wrap this thing up here soon. I want to talk a little hockey, though. Anybody who's not a sports fan is going to be like, what the fuck with this podcast? I don't care. Let me just read the last one.
Do people listen to your podcast?
Bruins
are
hot.
Yeah, but people still fucking bitch moan. They always bitch. You know what it really is? It's just six people bitch, and then I think it's like 6 million. So, I mean, I only have
But that is the math
listeners.
On the internet. I had a producer of a show one time. He's like, well, like six people. That's really in the internet term. That's like 4,000.
Yeah, it's like really. And what is that based on?
He was a moron. So I don't work with
them. Yeah, but based on how many? If 10 people are listening, 6 people bitch is not 4,000.
You know, I'm not good at math. There's something in the internet, though, is like one person equals...
Hey, let me read this last... Let me butcher this last one, and then we'll wrap this thing up here. Hulu Plus, everybody. You've probably tried Hulu.com. Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and movies in the living room or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite TV shows like SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, and Scandal. Watch every episode of shows like Lost, Law & Order, SVU, Doctor Who, and Community. How old am I? I don't even know half those shows. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Wrong Man's and Behind the Mask, Hulu's new docuseries that takes you inside the world of sports of mascots. Behind the Mask. I'm going to watch that. You also get access to a collection of ad-free movies and kids' content. For only $7.99 a month, catch up on current shows, binge on old favorites, or catch great movies. Stream as many TV and shows and movies as you want, wherever you want. I don't know whatever else I've got to tell you here. This stuff is great. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you get the extended free trial and that they know we sent you. Once again, it's HuluPlus.com/Bill right now for your extended 2 free week trial. All right. There we go. That's been the podcast for this week. I know it's difficult when we have 3-4 guys in here and all that, so I hope we didn't step on each other too much for people listening out here. But I'm really psyched for you guys.
Thanks, Bill. First of all, I mean, everyone's just like amazed. You know, I mean, not amazed, but I mean, it's really a nice thing that you did.
Hey, to put your name, appreciate it, to give us a kick. You guys didn't read the fine print of the tour. I'm going to own the rights to all your acts and your podcasts.
You can have it. I've been trying to sell my act for
years.
Tonight we're going to be down Largo. We're going to give a great show, and then afterwards, I brought some Cubans back from Canada. So over my house, you know, we'll get a lot ahead of Shirley Temple. And the rest of us can drink a little.
Johnny. It's just like, you know, you thought you'd hang around with some adults once in a while in your life.
You know, it's funny. As soon as you said that, we just gave him dirty looks.
You know, 90 days. That's a
hard time.
Good time. 89 days.
You might loosen your back up a little bit, no?
I don't know, man.
I heard it's good for it.
Man with back surgery, best thing, if you're not going to have like the real drugs, best thing is like 3 regular aspirin and a couple big pops.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Best thing for my back.
I'll tell you what, the day I went in for it, I was so jacked up. They shot me with morphine. They put needles in my back. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy was like, well, listen, he's, you know, da-da-da. I'm like, doc, I can't take it. And he was like, yeah, it'll be a while to fill the prescriptions. He's like, how do you feel about needles? I'm like, I don't like them, but I haven't had a drink in like 80 days, so stick me wherever. He's like, it's morphine. I'm like, please. Have you ever had morphine shot into you?
Yes.
No. That's the greatest party in the world.
I just did
the greatest party I've ever had.
It's instant. Like,
oh,
I had the morphine drip, and when you have surgery, you just hit the button and you get it, and it just goes away. Like, it's
I broke mine. I jammed mine.
No, you did.
Yeah, I did. It's the truth.
You rang in. You rang in on Jeopardy with that thing. Yeah. You're like, Alex Trebek was like, hey, Joe Bartnick. No. I need more morphine.
I did.
You jammed the fucking machine?
I did. I jammed it. I hit it so many times.
That's hilarious.
It only lets you, like, because it's only supposed to do it every 12 minutes.
Yeah.
If you get like 12 minutes, it could kill you.
It's like your lighter's out of fluid. Like he couldn't get a flame anymore. Now, wait a minute. With that stuff, do you get high or do you just get numb?
Oh, you get high as hell.
You get high. Yeah, you high, get high. Not numb. It's not Novocaine.
That kind of Jesus high where you're just like, hi, Jesus.
Yeah, I never had it before. All my life, 40 years of living plus, and I've never had morphine, and that was awesome. I mean, I was like 3 hours just like, oh, man.
But I was in the car wreck a month ago, so my doctor was worried about me going to New York and walking around, so he shot me up. And I was in the hospital with like 4 guys. We were all lined up. These old guys, like war veterans, were like came back there crying, like, oh, and their families were making fun of them. I went in there. My back's been so jacked. I've had so much shit done to me. He's like, you don't feel that? You don't feel that? I'm like, no, I don't feel it. He goes, wow, that's amazing. I came back. And they were like, you didn't feel nothing? I'm like, no. The guys were like, that's amazing.
They're a machine. Yeah, no, indestructible.
Joe, you are, Joe. You're one of a kind. Well, the show is tonight at 8:30. I think there are actually – we got about 10 tickets left that we're probably going to release around 4 o'clock if nobody else hits us up for tickets. So maybe you can grab some last-second ones. But I'm psyched to be working with – I don't think I've ever worked with all of you guys at the same time.
No.
I know New Year's we came close.
Yeah.
Bartnick, Lawhead, and Themelis.
And then us three have done –
yeah. And us three
us
have done
three,
stuff.
Us three, but
yeah,
not us
never
three.
All of us.
Nice. So here we go. So that's
here we go.
The four horsemen.
If you can't make it tonight, if you're listening in San Diego,
yeah, so
come
please,
out tomorrow night, San Diego.
You guys got to give me a website where I can send these people as far as.
MadhouseComedyClub.com is for San Diego. I know that ParlorLive.com is theirs. HeliumPDX.com
for Portland. Yep.
And then punchlinesf.com and then punchlinesac for sacramento.com.
Yep.
Okay. And that's all for the West Coast leg of this tour. All right, guys. Thanks for coming down on the podcast.
This is awesome.
And
thank you, man.
Congrats on the studio. You got a nice little studio.
Yeah, all things comedy. Yeah. All things comedy. All right. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. And I'll talk to you next week.